Well, good morning, 10:45 service. How's everybody doing? That is what I'm talking about. Thank you for that. I'm good. I can go now. So we are so glad that you're here. My name is Robert Kahn, one of the pastors here at Reality Church, and you picked a great day to be here. Just a couple of housekeeping things, or just one, really. Today, we are taking up our first offering for the Inside Out Project, and so some of you have already turned your commitment cards in, and thank you for that, if that's you. Some of you still have not turned those in, and we want to let you know that today is sort of the day that we would love to have those. If you have your cards with you, you can place them in the black boxes on your way out, or give them to a staff member, something like that, however you want to do that. Some of you are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. These are our commitment cards to help us with a project that's going to allow us to buy this building and renovate it out for some kids' space and student space and some other neat things. And so there are more cards back at the kiosk if you need those. Or if you need information, you can go to reality.church/insideout to find out about that. So today is that day. We want to celebrate that. So, well, we already welcomed you. And so we want you to know that we are in week 3 of a series called Everybody Wins. Okay, and so the first week we launched this on Easter Sunday, we learned how when death is defeated, everybody wins. Okay, so we talked about how Jesus Christ himself died right on the cross, rose again on the third day. That's what we celebrated Easter. So when death is defeated, everybody wins. That benefits everyone. And so the second week, which was last week, we talked about how when we get real, everybody wins. When we admit to one another, you know what, it's okay to not be okay. When we can be authentic with one another and we can turn, you know, knee to knee with another individual who's got refrigerator rights in your life and they can look in your life and you can look into their life. When we open up, that's when true healing can come and everybody wins. And then this week, week 3, we're going to look at when free means free. Everybody wins. And so that's kind of where we're at. And the goal of this series is for churches in the Omaha area, because I don't know if you know this, but churches all throughout Omaha, several of them, are preaching this same series right now. So many other churches are hearing a very similar message to what you're hearing today. And the goal of Everybody Wins is for those churches to come together to do some really neat things in the Omaha area, compassion-wise, and reaching out and planting churches and starting new projects and helping people who are already doing great jobs do it better, things like that. And that's why we're a part of this. And we want you to know, because, you know, contrary to what a lot of people believe, churches aren't competing with one another. We don't view competition as other churches. We don't. Because let's be honest, if everyone in Omaha that needed to be in church today decided to come to church today, there would not be enough churches in Omaha to welcome them. So what we need is we need every church in the Omaha area to just be knocking it out of the park, doing the best at what they are the best at. That's what we need. And so we're partnering with them and we're doing what Reality Church can do, what we do best to be a part of this project. And so that's why it's a big deal. That's why you see it on billboards and hear it on the radio and all that sort of thing. So let me just show my hand a little bit where we're going to go at the end of the sermon. I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to respond to a free gift that God offers to you. I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to respond to salvation. So I don't want you to be surprised by that, okay? I don't want you to be caught off guard. And so if you're already like, oh, no, here we go, then sometime between now and the end of my sermon, fake having to go to the restroom or something, okay? So I'm letting you know it's coming. Do you guys ever get a free gift in the mail? Like people send you stuff and attach some sort of free gift. You know, maybe it's one of those keys, and they're like, come see if it fits, you know, or whatever, that kind of thing. Being a church, we get a lot of mail around here, okay? So one of the things that we get a lot of are these Oriental Trading magazines, okay? But we don't just get a magazine. We get all of them, it seems. We, like, everyone on staff gets one of these magazines addressed to them. Everyone who's ever thought about being on staff, chances are you, everyone in this crowd, gets one of these magazines delivered here. At least that's what it feels like sometimes, because we get a stack of them, you know, every time they send them out. And what I've thought about doing is just piling those things up, right, and walking them across the creek, because Oriental Trading is literally right behind us. I don't know if you knew that. So just walking those things over there, walking in the front office and just being like, boom, save money, quit it. Okay, I thought about doing that, but I don't want to start some kind of Papio Creek turf war where we're throwing stuff at each other across the creek, because I'm pretty sure they have more resources than we do. So I haven't gone over there yet, but, you know, I'm willing to negotiate on the phone if that's what it takes. But my favorite thing, and I say that as sarcastically as it sounds, my favorite thing to get in the mail is anything that is addressed to something like this: our valued customer, Robert Kahn, and directly underneath it, or current resident. Right? Because nothing says, we appreciate your business so much that you might be dead and we don't know. And if you are, whoever gets this, hey, we appreciate your business too. Right? So nothing says valued customer like that. So I have a rule. My kids know this rule. Everybody knows this rule in my house. If we get mail that's addressed to whoever or current resident, it immediately goes in the trash. So sorry, especially if you're running for office. You know, that's what happens. But we also get freebies here at the church, like actual little trinkets and stuff. And so we'll get companies like these, you know, promotional, they put your names on pens and pencils and things like that. They'll send us packages that have a lot of this stuff in there in the hopes that, hey, we'll spend a lot of money, put our logo, put our branding on these things, and give them away. So we get stuff like this, you know. I don't know if you can see this. This is not a highlighter. This is like a little mini screwdriver set. And, you know, they sent this to us, I guess because they think Reality Church needs this and would like to give a bunch of these away. But we didn't, all right? We didn't buy 5,000 of them, so I'm sorry about that. But what I struggle with is every time these come in the mail, they're attached to something that says this: free gift. Like, here you go, free gift. And I'm always like, what other kind of gift would you send me? Like, sort of free gift, like gift plus shipping and handling, free for now, but we're going to charge you later on. You know, what other kinds of half-paid gift? What other kind of gifts are there? Is a gift really a gift if it's not free, right? Well, there are lots of free gifts in our world that aren't quite free. In fact, I would call them not free gifts. I would call them the gifts that keep on costing, is what I would call them. For instance, some of the things that I found in my life: free dogs. Look, I promise you, there's nothing more expensive in this world than a free dog, okay? So don't buy that, all right? See what I mean? Free help moving. Right, this is a tricky one because sometimes it's good, but most of the time, like if someone helps you move, what are they going to expect for the rest of your life? That you're going to help them move, right? And so be careful with that. Often also the help you get when it's free isn't always, you know, the most quality of help, because you'll come downstairs and you're like, where'd my mattress go? Oh, I strapped it to the car. You drive a Prius. Oh, we'll be good. I put the hazards on. We'll make it. Don't worry. Okay, so a lot of times it doesn't work out. You guys remember a lady, maybe you recognize her name. Her name's Oprah. She had a little show a few years ago. Do you remember on Oprah when she gave away like 270-something cars to her audience? You know, it's the, you get a car, you get a car, everybody gets a car, right? That thing? Yeah, so she gave all these cars away, which is fantastic, but everyone who got one of these cars had to pay at least about $6,000 in taxes on the car. And further, like 5 or 6 years after that, all of those cars got recalled for faulty ignition switches. So, way to go, right? So there are some gifts that aren't quite free. True story, my aunt in the early 90s won a car on The Price is Right from Bob Barker, okay? True story. But so you think, awesome, right? Well, yes, you've had to pay taxes on it. And then, you know, that was in California. She lived in Texas. She had to get registration and all of that stuff. So while, yes, it's free, is it one of those sorts of things? And even after stories like this, where free isn't always totally free, we love free stuff. We love seeing free stuff. We love seeing the sign that says free. We'll investigate it, whatever it is. We're just bent that way. Wouldn't it be refreshing, though, if something that claiming to be free really was free? What if free really meant free? Think about that. What a world. A lot of people have trouble understanding that free means nothing, no cost. So I found this video. So watch this. I hope it'll make it make more sense.
Floyd doesn't believe he can get his taxes done for nothing. So we brought in Dr. Michio Kaku to explain exactly what we mean by nothing.
Nothing is the absence of something. Zero is absolutely nothing.
So it costs nothing?
Well, it costs you zero, which is nothing.
Nothing. All right.
There you go. So free means nothing. All right, so we're going to be in John chapter 3 today. And so if you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you have a phone or a tablet, you can get that pulled up. If you have our Reality Church app, you can look at the Bible module in that and pull that. John chapter 3 is where we're going to be. And we're going to look at an instance in Scripture, in the Gospel of John, where free meant free. We're going to look at this and how this pertains to us today. So here we are. It'll also be up here if you don't have a Bible or a phone. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Okay, so here we have a guy named Nicodemus who was a Pharisee. We'll talk more about what that is later on. But it's important to notice when he approached Jesus. When was it? After dark, okay? Daytime confrontations with Jesus, especially with the Pharisees, tended to be just that, confrontations. So Nicodemus is already kind of showing his hand a little bit, approaching Jesus after hours, okay? Off the clock, he comes to Jesus. He keeps going, Rabbi, which means teacher. He said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. So again, Nicodemus is further, you know, giving Jesus authority here by saying, look, it's obvious that God sent you and God is with you. And Nicodemus would have known this. Nicodemus loved God, okay? And then he saw what Jesus was doing and he said, look, I know more than anybody, really, that you would not be able to do the things that you're doing unless God sent you and God was with you. I get that, Jesus. So Nicodemus is sort of, you know, bowing in that respect to Jesus. Well, here we go. Jesus' reply in verse 3. I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So here we have Mr. No-Nonsense Jesus, right? Not saying, hey, Nick, come on in, man, grab some queso. Game's on, you know, whatever. No, he just cuts straight to, I tell you the truth, Nicodemus. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Just straight to the point. Jesus had a way about seeing straight through a person to their heart. You can go on to read the Gospel of John, and everybody that Jesus comes in contact with, that's what happens. Just they meet, and Jesus immediately goes straight to their need, straight to their strongest desire. Well, if that's true, what does this tell you about Nicodemus? What did Nicodemus probably desire more than anything else? To see what? The kingdom of God. Nicodemus, who loved God, probably wanted more than anything else to see God reign on earth the way that God should reign on earth. So here's Jesus saying, you know what? You're not going to see it. You're not going to see the thing that you desire most if you're not born again. Look at verse 4. What do you mean? Like, huh? Nicodemus said, How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Valid question. Nicodemus probably is questioning Jesus' sanity at this point. Like, I don't know if this guy is really all here, because I know that's not possible, because I'm smart. Okay? Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." So Jesus further explains what he means to Nicodemus. He says, Nicodemus, everyone will experience a birth of water. That's a natural birth. That represents the natural birth that everybody in this world who is alive has experienced. But there's another kind of birth that you have to experience if you're going to see the kingdom of God, and that's a birth of the Spirit. Why? Because flesh gives birth to flesh, meaning the only thing humanity can reproduce is more humanity. It takes the Spirit to reproduce a spiritual life. It takes the Spirit to do something in us that we cannot do in ourselves. So let's fast forward a little bit to verse 9. Nicodemus, still clueless, okay? His mind is full-blown froze right now, right? He's got the pinwheel of death just going like this. He's like, what? How can this be? How is this? How are these things possible? He asked. And Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things?" He says, "Nick, you're the guy." I don't know if he called him Nick. That was a paraphrase. But, you know, track with me. "You're the guy. Like, you're the guy that people come to get answers to questions like this. And you don't understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying when I talk to you about these earthly things. How are you going to understand anything that when I raise the bar and start talking about spiritual things, heavenly things? How are you going to understand that?" Fast forward a little more. Jesus says, "Okay, here it is. You want to know? Here's the verse everybody knows and loves. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. Verse 17, God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." So this is what Jesus is teaching Nicodemus, and Nicodemus just doesn't get it. At least immediately. He has no category for this free gift. He has no box to put this information in his head. Right? He's like, I don't understand this. This goes against everything I've ever known. And Nicodemus was the all-star. Nicodemus was the go-to guy. He was off the charts brilliant, this guy was. And you can go look at every sport, right? Every sport tends to have their all-stars. Football has Jim Thorpe and Peyton Manning. Basketball has Jordan and LeBron James. Hockey has Gretzky. Baseball has Babe Ruth and Derek Jeter. Swimming has Michael Phelps, right? The Pharisees, guys, had Nicodemus. He was the all-star. He was on ESPN every week talking about God. Not really, but you know what I'm saying. He was their guy. He was their go-to guy. In fact, the only person in history who had more faith than Nicodemus, and you know this is true, your grandmother. You know that's true. Everybody's grandma was amazing, right? Right. Jesus himself would compete with the faith of your grandmother. I get it. I get it. We all love our grandmothers. Nicodemus was an all-star. He had patterned his life on regimented religion, and he was great at it. He was an expert at always doing the right thing. And because he was also an expert at never doing the wrong thing. He was trusting in his knowledge of the scriptures, and here was Jesus just pulling the rug out from under him, saying, "Your knowledge that you're basing your faith on is useless. It's meaningless. It doesn't add up. Your good deeds that you pride yourself on, they're not enough, Nicodemus, I'm sorry. Your religion that impresses everyone else that you've ever come in contact with doesn't impress God." That's what Jesus is telling them. He had no category for what he was hearing. You guys ever do this? Like, I'm not just talking about church stuff. I'm talking about in life, in general. You go through your day, you hear things that you're just like, what? You have no category. You don't have a spot. You don't have a neat little folder in your mind to put them. They just don't have a good, safe home to live in your head. This happens to me a lot, okay? There are things I just don't get, things I just don't understand in this life. For instance, people who have never seen Star Wars. Look, I'm not saying you have to love the movies, okay? But at this point in history, if you've never seen a movie, you're actively avoiding it. Like, you're like running away on purpose, okay? Just don't get it. I don't understand LinkedIn. I don't get it. I don't understand how I got in. I don't know how to get out. I just keep getting emails. I don't know what they even mean. I don't understand the presentation of pizza. I get pizza. I love pizza. But here we go. We have a pizza that's round, comes in a box that's square, and we cut it in slices that are triangle. Is it lunch or is it geometry? I'm not sure. I don't know what's going on. I don't get why the dentist insists on asking you questions when you cannot answer them. I don't know why the drugstores make you walk all the way to the back of the building to get your medication, but perfectly healthy people can buy cigarettes all day long up front. I don't get that. Maybe when it comes to faith, maybe when it comes to church world, maybe you're like Nicodemus. Maybe you don't have a category for some of the things that you hear. You're just like, I don't understand. How can it be that there's a God who loves us? How can it be further that there's a God who loves me and sent his son to die on the cross for me, who was born as a baby, who grew up to be a man, who lived perfectly, who said, yeah, that guy who commits all that sin, I'm taking his blame. Put it on me. And he died on the cross for me. I don't have a category for that. And how he rose again from life. He was dead, and then he wasn't. And then he ascended into heaven, and he's coming back for believers one of these days so that we can also go to heaven. Guys, be honest with yourself. Some of us don't have a category for that. How can this be? Maybe that's you. And if it is, and you find yourself struggling to believe that this tall tale is actually true, then I have three things for you that hopefully will help. First one is this. Religious people always struggle with free gifts. Religious people will always struggle with a free gift. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, remember? He was the religious among the religious. He was a prominent religious leader among the Jews. This guy, like I said, he was brilliant. He was the go-to. The Pharisees did not believe that Jesus was God's son. In fact, they believed he was an attack on God. They loved God. They wanted to protect God. So here comes Jesus, and they think that he's an attack on God. And so what do? They go after him. Pharisees didn't believe that he was who he said he was. They were also very religious, these Pharisees were. I mean, these guys were good. They were. We would look at them and say, man, not only are you good, you're better than I am. They read scriptures regularly. They kept verses of scriptures on them, like physically, little verses. They memorized the first five books of the Bible. Not like read it, not wrote a book report on it, memorized it. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Like those books that we don't even get all the way through every January when we restart a Bible plan. They memorized it, okay? They fasted twice a week. Fasting is when you give up something in order to focus on God. So, for example, when you give up something for Lent and you say, you know what, for this 40 days, I'm going to focus on God. I'm not going to eat this. I'm not going to do this, whatever. That's fasting. Pharisees did that twice a week, usually with food, and they would focus on God for those days. They tithed faithfully. Some reports say even upwards of 30% of their income they gave to the church. And God still, he still wants us to do this today. We encourage everybody here at Reality Church to be a percentage giver. Not necessarily 30%, maybe it's 3, maybe it's 13, maybe it's 30, whatever you can do. But we don't do it to pay off God. It's not hush money. We do it to fund what God is doing through the church for the kingdom of God. And God knows how close our finances are tied to our heart. He doesn't want that to drive our decisions in life. He wants to be the one to drive our decisions in life. These guys attended church so regularly. I mean, they had, you know, their names on the pews, okay? These guys were there all the time. They did all the seemingly right things that religion says you have to do. And they were perfect at it. They were good at it. See, Nicodemus, at this point when we see him, he had this head faith. He knew of Jesus. He had seen Jesus. But it hadn't really sank in. We see him later on. We see him a couple more times, actually, in the Gospel of John. And each time you see his story, you're like, oh, yeah, he's close. He's close. And then by the end, we see him. He's at Jesus' burial. And we can assume from that that, you know what, I think Nicodemus finally got it. I think he finally got it. It finally got through what Jesus was talking to him about. Most Americans, if you ask if they believe in Jesus, they'll answer yes. Because they had this same kind of faith that Nicodemus started with, this sort of knowledge, this awareness of Jesus. Oh yeah, I've heard of Jesus. Oh yeah. Therefore, they think they know him. They know everything there is to know about him. And this is not new. This goes all the way back to the time of Jesus. Look at what John says in chapter 12. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. They believed in Jesus, that is. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise from men more than the praise from God. So there were people who wanted to believe in Jesus, but were afraid because of the Pharisees. Because if they said, I'm a follower of Jesus, they would be kicked out of church. They'd be kicked out of the synagogue. By whom? By the Pharisees. So this goes all the way back to even when Jesus was on this earth. So maybe that's where you find yourself. Maybe you're struggling right now because you just don't see how this gift from God can really be free. I mean, it's just too good to be true. Got to be free plus something. That leads to the second. Sort of free religion requires my effort. Sort of free religion requires my effort. I think we all get this on some level. We have a desire to repay what God has done. Remember Nicodemus, what he said? He says, how can anyone be born who's already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. Now, again, Jesus is always way more sarcastic in my mind, but I imagine Jesus saying, wow, Nicodemus, nothing gets past you, does it? You're smart. Jesus was wanting him to see the impossibility of this. What Nicodemus was trying to do, he was trying to make it possible for man to do something that is impossible for man to do. You can't be born again that way. Everybody knows that. So there has to be another way. And when you try to find a way for man to do something that only God can do, you know what that's called? Religion. It's called religion. And it says, I have to do all this stuff and hope that I'm good enough to get into heaven. I have to be good enough, and if I am, God will be pleased with me. And if I'm not, well, then he won't be pleased with me. Religion says I have to measure up to God's standards by my own effort. And guys, this is true of all the major world religions, Judaism, Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism. Your deeds become the means by which you are either enlightened, reach nirvana, get into heaven, meet God, become God, whatever it is. Your good deeds become the means by which that happens. That's religion. Religion is earning my way. Nicodemus knew. He had to figure out, man, what else do I need to do that I haven't already done? Because he had already done pretty much everything. He was trying to make it possible for man to do something that man cannot do. Maybe you find yourself there. And you've tried to earn your way into a relationship with God. And I promise you, if that's you, you're frustrated because you can't do it. Maybe you've established your own goodness record. And at the end of the day, you lay your head down on the pillow and you cross your fingers and you hope that today was a win. There's a better way to live. Number three, God's free gift comes from God's own effort. Sort of free religion requires my effort, but God's free gift, it comes from God's own effort. That's where that comes from. Christianity, guys, is the only religion in the world that's not a religion. It's a relationship. It's accepting, not doing. It's receiving. That's Christianity. Here's how Jesus describes this free gift to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you want to know how this is possible? Here's how it's possible. God loved the world in this way, that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in me, Jesus would say, will not perish, but live forever in my presence. Yesterday was our oldest daughter's 14th birthday, and so we got her this turntable and like a couple of records, like legit vinyl albums, and it was the weirdest time warp in the world that my wife and I were going through. We're like, what in the world? We're buying albums and turntables? What happened? Okay, but of course she loved it. She opens it up. She loves it. You know, we're playing like all these old records and stuff. But not once throughout the day did she come back and say, thank you for this. This is really neat. What do I have to do in order to keep it? Why do we think we need to ask God the same question? That's sort of free religion, not God's free gift. You see, God's free gift includes a few things. It includes a forgiven past, which we all would say amen to that. It also includes an empowered present. It's not just past tense, guys. It's here and now. It also includes a secure future. Thank goodness for that too. A forgiven past. Colossians 3:14 says, he has forgiven all our sins and canceled every record of the debt we owed. Christ has done away with it by nailing it to the cross. If you are a believer in Christ and you're wondering where your sin is, it's nailed to the cross. That's where it's at. It's an empowered present. God says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you. Not only that, it's a secure future. John 11, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. They will live eternally. So here's what we are saying. You can't have a relationship with God on your own. You're just not good enough, guys. You know that for yourself. I know that for myself. I'm just not good enough. I think you know that's true for you as well. God had to initiate a relationship with us, and he did through Jesus Christ. God is offering us that relationship. Therefore, because of all of that, I got to tell you, I tried to make this as complicated as I could. Free means free. Free means free. That's the truth. That's the truth of the gospel. Not sort of free. Not free plus shipping and handling. Not free for now, but we're coming for a payment later. Right? Not layaway free. Free. Free means free. I don't know if you guys ever read Dennis the Menace, you know, comics, newspapers, or cartoons or whatever. But there's this episode where Dennis and his pal Joey go to, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Wilson's house and knock on the door. And everybody knows Mr. Wilson doesn't like Dennis the Menace. So he comes out and he's like, what do you kids want? Well, Mrs. Wilson hears them in the kitchen, invites them in, brings them in. So she gives them a plate of warm cookies and cold milk, right? And so they eat the cookies and milk and then they leave. And then Joey says, wow. What did we do that was so good that Miss Wilson gave us some cookies and milk? And Dennis says, We didn't get cookies and milk because we did anything good. We got cookies and milk because Mrs. Wilson is good. That's the gospel. That we have a relationship with God, not because we have done anything worthy of it. We have it, and we have the opportunity for it because God is good. And God provides that for us. So this sermon would be incomplete, guys, if I did not give you an opportunity to respond to this. I told you this was coming. So here's what I want to do. I want to lead everyone through a simple prayer of faith. And so I want to ask that everyone here just bow your head and try to forget about everyone in the room except you and God. God is here, and by His Spirit, He's making the same offer to you that Jesus made to Nicodemus so many years ago. So I'm going to lead you in this prayer, and you can respond how you want to respond. You could pray this silently in your head and in your heart. You can even sort of, you know, say it out loud if you want. Just don't scare your neighbor, okay? But say, just respond however you want. And if you would say this and mean it, then I encourage you to do so. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are who You claim to be. You are the Son of God. And that You proved it by dying on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for my sins and then by rising from death. I ask for Your forgiveness, not because of anything I have done or could ever do, but because of what You did for me. Jesus, I do put my trust, my full trust, my full weight onto You. Would You cause me to be born again, even now? I'm admitting I believe in You with all my heart. Thank You for making something too good to be true, really true. I want to know You personally and experience the forgiven past, the empowered present, and the secure future that only You offer. So as much as I know how, I ask for a real relationship with You as my Savior. Thank You for receiving me as Your own. Amen. All right, you guys can look up. Here's what I know about a crowd like this. There's a few different types of people in a crowd like this. Some of you maybe said that prayer for the first time this morning. And if that's you, we want to celebrate with you. We want to cheer you on. Because guys, I don't know if you know this, that's why we're here. If that's not why we're here, I'm going home. I got other things to do. There's plenty of things that my family and my house need done. But I'm not there, I'm here. Why? Because that's what we're called to do, to make disciples, to tell people the good news of Jesus. That's why we're here. So if that's you and you said that prayer for the first time this morning, I just ask right now, stand up so we can cheer you on. We want to celebrate that decision with you. And so if that was you, go ahead and stand up. Feel free to stand up. We're not going to point you out. We're going to cheer you on. All right. That's, maybe some of you are kind of a little timid. I get that. That's the way I was. I was right where you are many years ago. And I was like, there's no way I'm standing up in front of anybody. Do you know what I did? I waited till the service was all over, and then I went and found some godly man that I knew was doing this thing well, and I talked to him. Guys, guess what? It still counts. So if that's you, find somebody before you leave and talk to them about the decision you made and the prayer you prayed. That's the first type of people. The second type of people, or maybe those of you who are like, I don't know, man, I still got some questions. I still got some doubts even. I don't have a category for this. If that's you, I encourage you, come back. Keep coming. Because if you do, I encourage you to keep asking those questions you have, because I know if you ask them of God, you will find the answers. You will find the answers that you're needing to know. And the third group are those of us who are like, you know what? I prayed that prayer so many years ago, and it was the best decision I ever made. And if that's you, guys, bring somebody with you. We're going to be two more weeks into this series. Bring somebody back with you who needs to hear this. So here's what we want to do. The band is going to sing a song. We're going to give you one more opportunity to respond. And if you wanted to stand but didn't, where you're like, you know what, maybe I'm going to stand. Or if the Spirit speaks to you during the song and makes you stand, right? Grab the card that's in front of the chair in back of you that says, I believe. Grab that card and just make your way out to the guest information kiosk. There's going to be people back there who will answer any question you have, who are going to give you a high five just for standing up and walking back there. They're going to celebrate whatever it is that you're deciding to do today. So no matter who you are, we're giving you this opportunity during this next song to do that. Let's pray.